Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time of remembrance. And Lord, as we come now to open up your word, we pray that you might cause us to remember things also. In Jesus' name, amen. You can silence people through remembrance, but you can't silence the thunder. Naturally, for remembrance, I looked up, how often is the word used in the Bible? It's used rather a lot. I gave up counting. But the number of times the Bible exhorts us to remember, because we are so prone to forget. And so I've just chosen a few instances in the Bible when we are called to remember. And then I'm going to close with two passages in which the remembrance of God is written about. In Deuteronomy chapter 24, 17 to 19, we read, "You shall not pervert justice due to the stranger or the fatherless, nor take a widow's garment as a pledge. But you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore, I command you to do this thing." And this passage is essentially speaking to the Israelites when they have moved into their own land, saying the weak, the stranger who has no family support, the orphan who has no father or mother to defend him, the widow who might be short of funds and might need a loan. Do not pervert justice towards those people. And they're told to remember that they used to be slaves in Egypt. As slaves, they were lower than any of those three groups, and yet God redeemed them from that state of bondage. And if they remembered what they were, they would treat the weak and the poor with greater respect when they were strong. Now, there is, of course, a general principle for us there as well. We Christian believers ought to live to the very highest ethical standard, not just with the rich and the powerful and the people we wish to impress, but the weak and those unable to repay and those unable to thank. And yet, I think there is a deeper meaning to that 18th verse. Remember that you were a slave in Egypt. Egypt is the embodiment, the picture of bondage, of enslavement, of sin. And I believe it's appropriate that each one of us remembers what we were. We were born children of wrath, sinners, condemned, unclean, lepers whom no one could touch, debtors who could not repay. That's what we were. In Christ, we are adopted into the family of God. We are richer than the richest billionaire. We're better off than anyone else on the planet, even though here we are in a wet graveyard on a Sunday morning. In heaven, I think we'll forget a great deal. Things which should be forgotten. And yet in one respect, I think we'll always be reminded and called to remember what we were. Because it's only by acknowledging and remembering what we were that we so fully appreciate and realize what we have become. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 7 and 8, we're told, "Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father and he will show you, your elders and they will tell you, when the Most High divided their inheritance to the nations, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the children of Israel." Now there is a sense in which we can live in the past, and that is not helpful nor wholesome. And yet we're told to remember the days of old. That doesn't mean we live in the days of old. It doesn't mean we need to dress in the days of old. It does not mean that, like when the temple was built a second time, we weep instead of rejoicing because the days of old were so much better than the days of now. Though I dare say they were. No, the Lord tells the people of Israel to remember the days of old and the years of many generations. Ask those who are older, those who are wiser. And then verse 8 talks about what God has done. We have all had dealings with each other. We know that we react in different ways. Your dealings with me in the past will inform your dealings with me today and in the future. And yet I am so liable to change. The mood in which I'm in. The side of the bed from which I got up. And yet the Lord changes not. And when we look at how the Lord dealt in the past, we can behold how he will deal with us and how he will deal in the future. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. In 1 Chronicles 16, we have another instance of remembrance, inviting the people of God to recall and remember. Chapter 16 of 1 Chronicles, verses 11 to 13, reads, "Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Israel, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones." Well, we're told to remember what God has done. It's quite similar, I guess, to the previous passage. He has previously performed marvelous works. He has performed wonders. He has pronounced judgments from his mouth. And we are called to remember them because they are marvelous. Again, here we are in a graveyard on a wet day. It has been thundering. This is not comfortable. Churches are closed and are closing. Even before this happened, the churches were closed and were closing. And some might be tempted to think, well, where is God? Why does he not move again? Well, the Bible says remember, because we are prone to forget. Remember the marvelous works which he has done, the wonderful works in the Bible when he delivered Israel from Egypt. And they had been there so long and enslaved so long that most of them, many of them, had perhaps even stopped believing that they would ever be redeemed. And there have been times in this country when Christians would meet outside for fear of the authorities. Or they would be persecuted. And not only did God sustain them, but he changed that situation. And those wicked men are now dead and facing judgment. Be cheered this morning by remembering his marvelous works which he has done. Ecclesiastes 5 famously says, "Remember your creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. And the picture here is of things wearing out, things breaking. The pitcher, the wheel, the golden bowl, the silver cord. Things wear out, things break, things erode, things weather. So do our bodies. And our lives come to an end. And each one of us is hanging by a silver cord, which will one day break. And Solomon invites us, warns us, implores us to remember our Creator before that silver cord is broken. Because once one enters eternity, it's already decided. Remembrance is important. And I'm glad as a nation, we still observe it. Because it is an incredible reminder, not only of human depravity, but of human mortality. The tragedy of those young men, and most of them were young men, is that they died before they grew old. But guess what? Those who grew old also died. The wars merely hastened up what would already have happened. And that is tragic. But what is more tragic is that so many people die without first having remembered and recalled their Creator. They lived without Him. They died without Him. And now they're eternally separated from Him. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed. However, there are also two occasions which I'm going to mention in which the remembrance of God is spoken of. In the 43rd chapter and the 25th verse of Isaiah the prophet, we read, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Now, at first, that's rather strange, because God knows everything. And yet here he is choosing not to recall and remember the sins of a people. The second puzzle is that in the Old Testament, God does a great deal of remembering of people's sin. They might forget. He never does. So what can Isaiah possibly be saying? Well, Isaiah here, as he does on so many occasions in his prophecy, is anticipating and looking forward to the day when the Lord Jesus Christ would come as an atoning sacrifice for our sin, that my guilt, my filth, my shame might be transferred to him, and his righteousness, purity and life might be reckoned as mine. That is how, for his own sake, God can blot out transgression and remember our sin no more. The final text to which I'd like to refer is a very famous one from the 23rd of Luke. And Jesus Christ is hanging upon the cross, fulfilling the very action which would bring about Isaiah's promise in chapter 43 already read. And there is a dying thief, a man who deserves to die. And he's hanging next to Jesus on the cross and he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Surely you might think Jesus had better things on his mind. Who does he think he is saying, remember me? And yet, what answer does the Lord Jesus give him? Assuredly, I say to you, today, you will be with me in paradise. We are called to remember. We are called not to forget. We are called to commemorate so many things. And yet there is one thing which God will not remember, and that's our sin. And there is one thing he will definitely remember if we call upon him, and that is we ourselves. That dying thief, though his breath was short and hard, his time was short and his pain was great, had enough faith in his filthy heart to realise that Christ was a king who would live again. And that simple faith, expressed in so few words, in an apparently hopeless situation, is a wonderful picture of remembrance that when you and I, when we come to die, perhaps when we're too young or perhaps when we're old, we can say that the promise that Christ gave to that thief is made to each one of us as well. Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. I urge you to remember all those times and all those things which Scripture encourages us to do so. But remember this as you go home. In Christ, God remembers not your sin, but Christ will remember you. Statistically, in all probability, many of us will end up in care homes. Our bodies will probably outlive our minds. Even before this pandemic, there were thousands of elderly people in care homes who were lonely and sad because nobody went to visit. They were forgotten. But is it not encouraging and worthy of a smile to think that no matter where I'm placed, where I'm lodged, wherever I'm forgotten, left or discarded, the Lord Jesus will remember me when it counts. And he'll remember you too. Amen.